Left off in the middle of Siman Chaf, but just to catch ourselves up on what we were doing in Eretz Tzvi Siman Chaf, so let's quickly chazer over. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim in Perek Tes writes how when each of the Avos came, there were more mitzvos added beyond the Sheva mitzvos B'nai Noach, and from there they added to their Kedushas Yisrael. And the Rambam had mentioned, based on the Medrash, that with Yitzchak, the mitzvah of Meiser was added, because Yitzchak was the first one to take Meiser. So the Ravid comments on that Rambam, that the Rambam should have said that Avram Avinu was the first one to be Mafresh Meiser. Yitzchak was not the first one to be Mafresh Meiser. Avram Avinu was. And apparently what the Rambam and Ravid are arguing about was whether Avram Avinu's Meiser was Bitoris Meiser, meaning counts as Meiser because it was Bitoris Meiser Ksafim. And the question is, how do we understand Meiser Ksafim? What is that? Is that real Meiser? Or is that just a mitzvah of tzedakah? Is that like giving tzedakah? Where apparently the Rambam Shita is that the Meiser Ksafim that Avram Avinu gave was just a mitzvah tzedakah. It was not a mitzvah Meiserani. So Yitzchak was the first one to really give Meiser, because Avram was only tzedakah, was only Meiser Ksafim. Whereas the Ravid would hold that Meiser Ksafim itself is Midin Meiser Ani, so really Avram was the first to give Meiser, because by giving Meiser Ksafim, he actually gave Meiser Ani, that's an actual Din in Meiser. So what we started to develop last time, a couple of weeks ago, was that maybe this is a Rambam and a Ravid Lishitasam. How so? So it's a long story, but just to catch us up, the Mishnah Meseches Trumos tells us that if somebody is matvis a neder bechalas aron ubetrumaso, then it's mutter. It's not considered a davar nadar. In order for a hatfasa to work by nedarim, you need to be matvis bedavar nadar and not bedavar aser. That when you associate with something else, it has to be something that comes out of your own creation of the aser, a davar nadar, but not something that's actually substantially aser. So if someone is matvis, someone says, this item should be for me like truma or like chala, well then it's mutter, because that is not a davar anadur. So we were struggling with is, isn't that the very definition of a davar anadur? Meaning truma is, if you'd imagine, if you look up davar anadur in the dictionary, you'd find truma. Truma is something that you make it truma. It, prior to being truma, prior to you saying that it's truma, it's not truma. So shouldn't that be the very definition of a davar anadur? How could the Mishnah say in the beginning of the second paragraph of Nedarim that it's not a davar anadur? So the way we explain the Rambam is that the Rambam holds that truma is not a davar anadur because something can only be truma if it was asr beforehand anyway as tevel. If it was tevel previously, and then you say, okay, now it's no longer tevel because this part is truma, that's when it becomes truma. So you didn't create the iser. The iser was there the whole time. It was already tevel the entire time. You just sorted out which part of it is going to be truma and which part of it is now going to be chulin. But you didn't create an iser. You just actually minimized the iser to only the truma section and not to the rest. But that's based on the idea, and this is the yesod, that the Rambam holds that you cannot have truma without having tevel first. There's no such thing as something being truma if it wasn't tevel in advance. That's what we got to last time. The Ravid in the first paragraph of the Nedarim seems to say that the gedder of what's called the davar anadur depends on whether their kedusha is al yedei adam through hafla'a, not whether it's possible for it to be b'neder b'nedava. The reason the Ravid would understand chalas aron u'trumaso is not considered a davar anadur is that in order to be a davar anadur, it needs to be, and here's the difference, Kodshe Hamigdash. The reason Truma is not considered a davar anadur is, yes, it's true. It's your own declaration that it's Truma that makes it so, that makes it Truma, but it makes it what? It just makes it into Truma, which is Kodshe HaGavul, and it's holy, but you're allowed to eat it throughout all of Eretz Yisrael. There's no Kodshe Hamigdash. It doesn't have a din of Kodshe Hamigdash. And that's why Truma is not considered a davar anadur. The Ravid in the 12th parak of Hilchos Shavuos, Halach Yudalit, says that if one is noder b'masha betocher, if Shechter points this out in a footnote, this actually relates to what Yosef was asking me on Purim. I don't know if you remember, but you do remember that part. The Ravid in the 12th parak Gemara of Hilchos Shavuos writes that if someone is noder b'masha b'tocha, means he takes a neder with what is written in the Torah, it's considered to be a davar nadur, because that which is the written word of the Torah is considered kedusha. Apparently, he holds that the kedushas ksav shel Torah is considered mikodshei amigdash. That fits very nicely with the Gemara in Erev and Daf Kuf Gimel, that a gezeira related to a sefer Torah is considered a shvus de mikdash. Anything that's sefer Torah related is considered mikdash related. Why? Why would anything sefer Torah related be considered mikdash related? So that you have to remember back to Eretz Hatzvi Simin Yud Beis, that the entire kedushas hamikdash, the entire basis of the kedusha of a mishkan, of the kedusha of the mikdash, what's it called? A mishkan ha? Eidos. Why? Because the whole kedusha comes from the luchos ha-eidos. The entire kedusha emanates from the Torah that is within it. The whole idea of kedushas ha-mishkan, kedushas ha-mikdash, is to extend the sense of hashras ha-shchina that we had at Har Sinai and to extend it forward through the mikdash. So you understand very well that kedushas ha-torah is going to be kedushas mikdash. This is Ravid l'shitaso. Ravid holds something is only called a davar anador if it has kedushas ha-mikdash. So sefer Torah is davar anador because sefer Torah has kedushas ha-mikdash. Now apparently the Ravid disagrees with the Ram that truma can only exist when there's an Isra Tevel to begin with. The Ravid would hold that you could have truma even if prior to being mafresh the truma there was no Isra Tevel. The Ravid would point to many passages in the Gemara where the Gemara talks about hafrashas truma from peros ilan, taking trumas from apples, from oranges, even though the Ravid holds that peros ilan are potter from truma on a daraisa level. Meaning, mida oraisa, you have Jaffa oranges, they are not tevel mida oraisa. Yet, the Ravid holds, when you're mafresh truma from them, that is truma mida oraisa. Meaning, the Ravid will hold, something can become truma mida oraisa, even though it was not previously tevel. Unlike the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Maestros, who holds that all peros ilan are chayiv in trumos mida oraisa. And it's only because of that, that it's only because they're chayiv in truma midaraisa, that they're tevel midaraisa, that there could be a chalos truma. Now, although Rashi in Kiddushin Daf Gimel Amud Aleph understands that all of those drashos that are mechayiv peros ilan and truma are only in a smachta, in Sefer Kaftav Raferach, Paragimli points to a passage in the Ravid in the Kosov Shom at the end of Maseches Chulin that even by Shar Minim, meaning even by Peros Ilan, not Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar, other Minim, where there's no Iser Tevel, there's no Chiyuv Hafrasha Midoraisa, the Ravid says, whatever Hafrasha you do is Chal Minatorah. There's no Chiyuv to be Mafresh on your Jaffa oranges, to be Mafresh Shuma, but if you do it, it actually is truma min hatorah. A zar who eats such truma is not going to be chayv misabide shemayim. It's a lower level truma, but it is actually truma min hatorah. Now the bottom line is that the Ravid holds that truma can be done literally b'neder b'nedava. I mean, you could have something that's not chayv in truma and you volunteer to be mafresh truma. It can mamish be done by neder ubinadava when you're taking on apples and oranges and sharminim, things that are not dagan tirush v'yitzar. And that's why he disagrees with the Rambam's definition of a davar anadur. The Rambam says, truma is not a davar anadur because you can never really volunteer truma. Truma was always tevel first, and then you just decided which part of it is truma. According to the Ravid, not so. Truma was not always tevel first. The Rambam's definition of anything that the aflas ha'adam created the iser, truma should also be a davar another by that definition according to the Ravid. So what emerges is that there's a machlokas Rambam and Ravid about hafrashas trumas and maestros. The Rambam holds there can't be chalukas hafrashas trumas and maestros unless there was previously a status of tevel, whereas the Ravid holds that you can have hafrashas trumas and maestros b'neder b'nedava, totally voluntarily, even without a shem tevel prior to that. Now the Rambam in the 8th parak of Hilchos Bikurim, Halacha Beis, holds that you could be mafresh chala the second you put the water into the flour, and even prior to mixing the flour and the water together, even prior to the Gilgul Ha'isa, you could already be mafresh chala. Says the Ravid, the hafrashas chala between putting the water and kneading the dough is like being mafresh truma samaisros bishibalim. It's like being mafresh truma samaisros before the gemar malacha on the grain, where the hafrasha is going to be chal, but it's not yet tevel, and that's not appropriate. You can't be mafresh before the full kneading of the dough, says the Ravid, because you're still allowed to eat an achilas arai from that dough if you haven't fully kneaded the dough. So that indicates, the fact that you're allowed to eat an achilas arai from it indicates that it's not yet tevel. So it seems that the machlokas Rambam and Ravid can be understood as follows. The Ravid holds, and this is all the shitasam, the Ravid holds, there can be a hafrasha before there's ever an Isser Tevel. You just shouldn't do that, because why would you do the mitzvah as an Eino Mitzuvah Viosa if you couldn't wait until it actually becomes Tevel? Then you'll be a Mitzuvah Viosa, then you'll have a Chiyuv, and that's when you should do it. Whereas the Rambam would say, wait, the Rambam would say, if it's possible to be Mafresh Truma, by definition that means it's already what? It's already what?
Tevel.
It can't be possible to be mafresh truma unless it's already tevel. The second you put the water into the flour, it has to be tevel. And therefore, of course you can be mafresh truma, you're a mitzvah viosa. Aye, but I'm allowed to snack on it, I'm allowed to have an achilas arai until the Gilgal Isa? Yeah, that's a separate din. The fact that you're allowed to have an achilas arai, that applies prior to the Gemar Malacha. That has nothing to do with its tevel status. So the Rambam and the Ravid fundamentally disagree. The Ravid holds, as soon as you put the water into the flour, it's not yet tevel. And therefore, although you can be mafresh truma, preferable to wait till it's actually tevel when you're a mitzvah viosa. Whereas the Rambam will say that no, if I'm able to be mafresh, it must be tevel. So the second you put the water into the flour, it is tevel, and mimela, you could be mafresh. Now let's come full circle. We said there was a machlokas Rambam and Ravid about Maiser Ksafim. Is Maiser Ksafim a din of Maiser Ani, like a real din of Maisros? Or is Maiser Ksafim a din of Tzedakah? The Rambam holds just Stam a din of Tzedakah. Whereas the Ravid holds, no, it's a real din of Maiser. Well, wait a second. No, let's put it together. According to the Rambam, you can't ever have a hafrasha unless you have what beforehand? A status of Tevel. Only when something is tevel can there be a real din of hafrasha. If previously you didn't have a status of tevel, there's no din of hafrasha. Whereas according to the Ravid, even without a status of tevel, you can have a hafrasha. So I ask you, is there a din of tevel on your money before you take Maaser Ksafim? Are you allowed to spend your money before you take Maaser Ksafim? No? Come on, you don't have to understand anything we said up until this point to answer that question.
Yeah.
Is there a din of tevel on Maaser Ksafim?
No,
of course not. There's no din of tevel on Maaser Ksafim. So now we understand. The Rambam holds that there's no such thing as hafrashas trumas and maisros when there was no shame tevel. So it can't be that Maaser Ksafim is real Maaser. How can it be real Maaser? There's no tevel. You can only have real Maaser when there's tevel. There's definitely no din tevel by Maaser Ksafim. Your money's definitely mutter to use before you mafresh Maaser Ksafim. It therefore must be that Maaser Ksafim is just a mitzvah tzedakah. It's got nothing to do with real Maaser. Like Maram Rutenberg, like Rav Achronim. The Ravid holds that there is such a thing as hafrashas trumas and maisros, even when there's no shame tevel. Just like by Peirosi Ilan, there's no shame tevel midoraisa, it's not chayiv and trumas midoraisa, and yet, when you mafresh truma, it works. Just like when you add water into the flour, but you're not yet megalgal the isa, the Ravid would say, it's not yet tevel, but what? You can still be mafresh challah. So you see that hafrash could work even when there's no tevel. Same is true by Maaser Ksafim. There's no din tevel, but it's real Maaser. It's like Maaser Ani. It turns out that there's another great chiddush in the Ravid, that there can be Maaser Ani even when there's no chiyuv of Truma Gedola or Maaser Rishon. Because on your money that you make, you have no chiyuv of Truma Gedola, you have no chiyuv of Maaser Rishon, and yet you have a chiyuv of Maaser Ksafim, which the Ravid understands to be an offshoot of Maaser Ani. This, it's not as great a chiddush as you would think. The Yireim and the Smag hold that there's no chiyuv d'oraisa of hafrashas truma gedola and maaser rishon on anything outside of dagon tirosh v'yitzar, unlike apples and oranges, but that there is a chiyuv maaser sheni min haTorah on such things. So you do see that certain maisos can apply min haTorah when others do not. So that's how we come full circle. Now, based on the Ravid and the Kas of Sham, Rav Shekhtar just adds the last piece. Based on this Ravid that we have mentioned, we can add a new explanation to Machlokas Tanayim in the end of the third parak of Maseches Trumos. And this is just genius. There is a Machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon of Maseches Trumos. Tanakama holds that if a goy is Mafresh Truma, that truma has a status of truma. If it gets mixed in with other things, it becomes dimua, becomes aser. And if a zar, a non-kohen, eats that truma, he's chayiv chomesh. He has to pay karev chomesh, meaning it really has a din of truma. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, a guy is mafresh truma, you're pata from chomesh. You're pata, it's not dimua, it's not aser, it's not truma. So what's the nekuda samachlokas? There are two explanations in Rishonim in the machlokas, which the Brisker Rav points out are actually two deos in the Yerushalmi. Rishon probably didn't see the Yerushalmi, but they were mamish right on. They got it exactly, the two deos in the Yerushalmi. Rashi understands in Kiddushin and Memalfam Beis that they argue in the case of grain that belongs to a guy, whether that's chayiv in Trumas and Maisos. That's the case of the Machlokas. What does it mean, truma of a guy? It means truma of grain that belongs to a guy, where Tanakama would hold that ein kinyan la'akum beretz Yisrael lafkir midei trumas ha'maisos, the fact that a guy owns the land does not take away the chiyuv of trumas ha'maisos, and if a miruach, if a guy does the whole processing of the grain, the miruach and everything, it doesn't exempt it from trumas ha'maisos, and therefore when he takes truma, it actually is truma. And Rabbi Shimon holds no, tevuas ha'akum, miruach ha'akum, that's nothing, it's part from trumas ha'maisos. Only grain that belongs to a Jew is chayiv in trumas ha'maisos. A guy owns grain, owns a field in Eretz Yisrael, all that stuff is part of from Trumas HaMaisos. That's how Rashi understands the Machlokas. Tosos explains that the case is that the Peros grew Birashus Yisrael, and the Miruach was done by a Yisrael. That's the case of Machlokas. It was Jewish grain. The Jew processed the grain. The issue is not whose grain it was. The guy is the one that actually did the Hafrasha. The guy is the one that actually took and said, okay, this should therefore be Truma. Everyone agrees that an Akum doesn't have das hafla'a, because they don't have dinim of nedarim and shvuas. But the Tanakhama holds that since the Gemara in Chulin Yud Gimel and Beis allows for an Akum to be noder nedarim and nedavos for hegdish, so the same will apply to Truma, because it's just like hegdish. And Rav Shimon holds that we have a drasha by Truma that says Bnei Yisrael lemu'ute akum, meaning the issue, the whole machlokas, is not a din in the tevua. The tevua belongs to Yisrael. It's for sure chayv in Trumas Maisos. The whole machlokas is machlokas in hafrasha. The hafrasha is being done by an akum. So asks the Brisker Rav. The Gemara says that Rav Shimon learns chet chet mi Truma, and he makes the following drasha. Just like Trumas Akum is not Chal, so too Kachay Akum should not be subject to Mi'ila. What an Akum makes Hegdish should not be subject to Mi'ila. So I asked the Brisker Rav, that's difficult to understand what the parallel is. What kind of comparison is there between Hegdish, where the guy's Hegdish is Chal, and we're just saying that it shouldn't be subject to Mi'ila, but it is Hegdish, and Truma, where the Afrash is not even Chal at all? So the Brisker Rav answers, based on Yerushalmi in the third parak of Trumas, which says that even though Rabbi Shimon exempts Zar ha'ochel trumas akum from paying a chomesh, the afrasha is chal on a daraisa level. Meaning Rabbi Shimon is just saying you're not chayv chomesh, but the afrasha is chal, meaning the truma and kodesh are really parallel to each other. Just like the truma is chal partially when a guy makes something truma, you just don't have the chayv chomesh. Hegdish is chal partially, you just don't have a chiyuv mi'ila when a guy makes the item hegdish. That must be assuming, like Tosa's understanding of the machlokas, that the entire machlokas is not about tvuas akum, but about the hafrasha of the akum. But based on the Ravid, that there is no misa bidei shemayim for a zar who eats truma from perosi ilan, even though the hafrasha is chal min haTorah, right? The Ravid said again, peros ilan not chayiv in hafrasha midaraisa. Yet when you do the hafrasha, it works. It's chal. Okay, but it's a lower level truma. Lower level truma meaning a zar eats that truma, he's not going to be chayiv chalmesh. But there was never a chiyuv, because there was never a chiyuv hafrasha. The entire hafrasha was only voluntary. So now we can explain the machlokas to be about peros, this machlokas tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, to be about peros that are chayiv in trumas and maisros But the guy who's doing the afrasha is not mitzuv in the afrasha. Meaning, it's not that like the exact case of the Ravid. The Ravid's case was you're talking about peros that are not chayv in Shabbos Ma'aseros. It's apples and oranges. They're not chayv in Shabbos Ma'aseros. Only dug and tears of are chayv in Shabbos Ma'aseros. And then you do afrasha, so it takes on the status of truma. No, we're talking about peros that as a cheftza, they absolutely are chayv in Shabbos Ma'aseros. But the person who's doing it has no personal obligation in Shabbos Ma'aseros. Why? Because he's a guy. So is that going to be the same? Are we now going to say, oh, that's just like peros that don't have a chiyuv where you volunteer the Shabbos Ma'aseros? So it should be the same thing when you have peros that are chayiv, but the person who's doing it has no chiyuv, and therefore it's like a voluntary afrasha. So we can explain the machlokas to be about peros that are chayiv in Shabbos Ma'aseros, but the guy who's doing the afrasha is not mitzuv in the afrasha, since it's not one of the shev mitzvos b'nei Noach. So he would only get schar like an enu mitzvah v'yoseh, right? He's just volunteering the mitzvah. The rule is, in general, the idea of karen v'chomesh, when a zar eats truma b'shogeg, is that by paying back a chomesh, that's a kapara for an avera that would normally warrant misa b'dei shemayim if it were done b'mezid. You know, similar to how if you do an avera b'mezid, a chayiv kares, right? When you do such an avera b'shogeg, what do you chayiv? Chatas, exactly. There's all Masechet and Shas called Maseches Krisus. Why do I need a Masechet and Shas called Maseches Krisus? We don't decide on who's Chayiv Kares or not. That's all taken care of in Shemayim. What's the whole Maseches Krisus really about?
If you do
B'shogeg. If you do B'shogeg, Chatas. It should really be called Maseches Chataos. That's what it is. So just like you have that relationship, only that which when you do B'mezid Chayiv Kares, when you do B'shogeg Chayiv Chatas, you have a similar relationship. That which you do b'meizid b'chayv misa b'deshmayim b'shogeg, you have to pay karen v'chomesh. So it turns out as follows: whenever there is no misa b'deshmayim for eating a particular type of truma, if there's no misa b'deshmayim for eating a particular type of truma b'meizid, it would follow that what? That if you eat that same type of truma b'shogeg, there's no karen v'chomesh, right? You wouldn't have to pay the chomesh if a zar eats a b'shogeg. The machlokas, whether there's a chomesh on trumas akum, can therefore be understood with the assumption of the Ravid, that any time truma does not come from a chiyuv tevel, right, what did the Ravid say? That there could be such a thing as truma when there was no chiyuv tevel. But such truma doesn't have misa b'dei shemayim. In other words, such truma doesn't have a chiyuv chomesh, right? If it didn't come from a chiyuv tevel, wouldn't have a din of misa b'dei shemayim, and therefore wouldn't have chomesh. And therefore the machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon is as follows. Tanakama holds that since the chefza shel truma over here did come from real tevel, it's just that the goy who is mafresh had no chiyuv, we look at the chefza of the peros, and it's therefore subject to misa b'dei shemayim, and if it's subject to misa b'dei shemayim, it's also subject to chomesh, because the chefza of the peros, that was actual real tevel. Whereas Rabbi Shimon would hold that whenever the hafrasha was not required, whether it wasn't required because the peros weren't really tevel, or whether it wasn't required because, what's the other possibility, the gavra who was doing the afrasha was a guy who has no chiyuv, either way, it's not a real requirement, it's pater. And therefore, there's no misa b'dei shemayim on such shuma, and therefore, if there's no misa b'dei shemayim on such shuma, there's also no chiyuv chomesh when you eat a b'shogeg. And maybe that's the machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shakta just points out the only problem is the Ravid himself says that Trumas Peros Ilan don't have Misa B'dei Shemayim, but they do have a Chiyuv Chamesh. So there's something off with that equation. Mishnah Melech already raises that question in his Sefer Derech Mitzvah Secha. But that is the brilliant, mamish, brilliant, genius analysis of Rabbi Shakta on that piece.